requested them to give us more information related to the empowerment programs. To be specific, that was the one on Black industrialism. We needed specific information that the minister is going to speak to, and any other additional information that the minister had promised to give us will be able to give us today. May I, without any waste of time, indicate to you that we are today, without the content, the researcher and the committee secretary, who's not well. I'm not sure what happened to the researcher. She just wrote a note to me that she's not coming to the meeting today, with no reason. And then Venetia, my executive secretary, has been appointed by the committee section to stand in for Peter Paul. And a content advisor has been assigned to our committee also. I'm going to give him an opportunity to talk to us for the first time and introduce himself. Can I give you that opportunity?
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. My name is Mandisi Jumhe. I've been asked to assist the committee. I'm in the office of the Chairperson of the National Council of Provinces, where I'm responsible for research and content support. But I've been asked to assist this committee to work with the Chairperson. Thank you.
I need to also put before the committee that I've spoken to the head of the committee section, Mr. Shabalala, yesterday about the content advisor's permanency in the committee. He indicated that he's going to be here until the end of the financial year, and he will be here as and when we need him, meaning that he's permanently attached to us from the office of the chairperson of the NCOP. You're welcome, sir, and we hope that you will be able to work with us and meet our expectations as this particular committee. Don't worry, we'll get used to your surname. But in the meantime, I'll call you Mandisi, and I hope that you'll appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you so much. Those are the apologies I have. May I then hand over to Venetia for further apologies?
Good morning, honorable members. I wish to place on the record I didn't receive any apologies.
Thank you very much. I was told earlier on that Honorable Kriani will join the meeting. He's attended another committee. Thank you so much. Without any further waste of time, may I hand over to the minister for the presentation?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to you and to the honourable members of the committee, to the staff of Parliament, and a welcome to Mandisi. I thought, now how I'm going to pronounce the surname, and then you let the cat out of the bag, and to the departmental and IDC officials. We are joined, the chair, by the departmental officials that I think the committee know well, but also by three officials from the IDC, David Chavez, Christopher Nsale, and Nontokozo Hadebe. And the three of them are familiar with a lot of the work that the committee has scrutinized in the past, but they've also contributed to the information that we would be sharing with the committee today. Chairperson, by way of the background, we're going to use the hard copy, unfortunately, the The screen is not available to highlight it. But during colleagues and members would recall that during presentation of the Economic Development Department's annual report, we had, and you'll see it on slide 2, a presentation that, among others, summed up the impact of various agencies' work. One of the agencies we focused on was industrial financing by the IDC in the financial year. And honorable members looked at this data and said, that's very, very interesting. We would like to understand a little bit more. Who are these people? What kind of projects does the IDC support? What is the developmental impact? I recall Honorable Piccinini said, tell us about the jobs also in particular. We want to know, do these things create jobs? So we've put together a presentation that has some general information which we've pre-circulated, but then also a number of case studies that we were still finalizing yesterday. And then right at the back of the documentation, and I think it's been distributed to honorable members as a loose document called Black Industrialists Additional Storylines. That's a series of advertorials that has appeared in City Press that contains more of the human story, and it provides a bit of additional detail. If I then go straight to the main report, Chairperson, in slide 4, we try to deal with what is meant by economic transformation. And it has a number of elements. This is not a comprehensive definition, but it points to some of these. They include, for example, transforming the structure of the economy to grow faster and more inclusively. So transformation is not about changing ownership only. It's also about a range of other issues, and I've identified one of these. The second one is shifting the dependence on the export of raw materials, including building a more balanced economy. But it does include promoting the participation of Black South Africans, women and young people in the economy, so that we broaden the base of entrepreneurship and promote fairness. So it's more than one area that transformation deals with. And just in that last bullet, which we'll come to in a little bit, honorable members will see Black South Africans, women and young people. So it deals, as I will point out in a few examples, with a range of designated groups. The next slide deals with EDD and its agencies. Our job is really a small part of this. All of government seeks to promote broader transformation in the society. So what does EDD do? The department and its agencies help to promote transformation in a number of ways. First, by enabling greater competition and dynamism in the economy. If you have an open, competitive economy, that's a contribution to transformation. Secondly, to supporting infrastructure and investment efforts to improve growth and inclusivity. And the third one is advancing the entry or expansion of Black South Africans, youth and women in the economy through new enterprises or sometimes through equity in companies. So even the more narrow area of transformation includes a range of activities. And those are set out in slide 6. The IDC funding to entrepreneurs from designated groups is an obvious example, but also the development funds that have been set up through merger agreements that support localization and new enterprise development. For example, Walmart, AB InBev, and so on. We did think about bringing that also today. It's not what the committee asked for, but we thought it would be a good additional bit of information. But in the end, in the limited time, we were not able to complete all of that. And so the next section deals essentially with the IDC as one element of the question that was asked, or one element of transformation responding to the committee's question. The next slide deals with the key work on setting a mandate for the IDC. Now, The IDC has been working on promoting the inclusion of black South Africans in the economy from at least 1994, but it did so without the strategic focus that the Black Industrialist Program brought in. And essentially what the Black Industrialist Program did, if I really just simplified, it said instead of focusing on an effort to get black South Africans to get 10% or 20% or 30% of equity in an existing company, how can we change the equation and either get new enterprises, new firms, new mines, new factories, or facilitate a significant expansion into control by a black entrepreneur of a major asset in the economy? And it's done because the old system, while it had lots of advantage or benefit that some have put forward in the public domain and in policy, it had one significant disadvantage. It wasn't bringing black South Africans in sufficient numbers in as entrepreneurs. And if we want to grow the economy, we've got to get to a point where the base of entrepreneurship is expanded, not the base of shareholding only, but of entrepreneurship, people who roll up their sleeves and get things going in an enterprise. So in 2015, at the budget vote, we set a five-year target for the IDC. From 2010 to 2015, we had tried to get the IDC to focus on a few areas. For example, it focused more on green economy, it focused more on jobs, and it focused on distressed industries. By 2015, we added an additional element, which is a more focused look at transformation. And the three targets we set were a 23 billion rand target for black industrialists over a five-year period, 4.5 billion rand for women-empowered enterprises, and 4.5 billion rand for youth-empowered enterprises. Now that five-year period would only end in March 2020. So we are about 70% of the way, and it's a good moment to just take stock of where we are. The next slide, which is slide number 8, summarizes where we are. It says from the 1st of April 2015, in other words, the mandate period that we asked the IDC to focus on this, up to the 30th of September 2018, we had achieved the following. We had concluded, the IDC had concluded 16.7 billion rands worth of funding for black industrialists. In 295 deals, and we are now at 73% of target. For youth, 4.6 billion rand of funding had been concluded in 137 deals, and we are at 101% of target. And for women, 7.1 billion rand funding had been approved in 159 deals, reaching 159% of target. So the big picture is that we will meet the targets in, well, we've met the target in two of the three, and we're on track to meet all three. Slide 9 onwards, just break it up a little bit. For example, slide 9 is the industrial, black industrialist approval. The dotted line is the target. The hard blue line, dark blue line, is where we are actually at the moment. So honorable members will see we are slightly above where we should be. We're at 16.7 billion rand, and that is 73%, and in time we're at 70%, so we're slightly ahead. That's of course the big one in terms of quantity, and we still have a fair way to go. We still need to do about 6 billion rand in the remaining period. But we think we are, as things look now, on track. The next one is youth empowered approvals. That's slide 10. The dotted line is the target, and honorable members will see that we are now ahead of target. So we've already met our target for March 2020. The next slide is women empowered approvals. The dotted line is the target, and the hard blue line is the actual, and honorable members will see again we have achieved the target. Based on the IDC projections, the cumulative impact of industrial funding is as follows. The IDC advises me that some 27,500 jobs were either saved or created. And they've broken it down. 23,000 jobs created and 4,500 jobs saved. Now, I'm going to make a comment here that would apply throughout, honorable members. The way the IDC does the numbers is, number one, they look, if they approve a project, let's say, of 100 million rand, and it's a four-year project, over 4 years they'll be building the factory, expanding the factory, maybe an initial small unit, and then you expand further. They then look at what will be the number of jobs over the four-year period. And they don't take it if it's a job only for a month or 2 months. It has to be a minimum of 1 year equivalent. So they've got a certain minimum amount that they put in. And let's say it's 500 jobs over the four-year period. You may find in the first year and a half, it would be 200 jobs would be construction just to build the factory. And in the remaining period, once the factory is established, in the first year of the factory, it may be another 100 people. And in the second year, when the factory is now well established and it's expanding, it would be the remaining 200 jobs. So they calculate it over the entire period. And that is then broken down into jobs that are created, new jobs where there was no jobs before, and jobs that are saved as a result of the IDC intervention. Now, not every IDC intervention creates jobs. Now, honorable members may ask, hang on, why not? In some cases, a factory has got 100 workers, and it can increase its output by 5% or by 10%, which is, of course, important, because if every factory in the economy and every mine increase their output by 5% to 10%, that's equivalent to a 5 or 10% GDP growth if it was right across the whole economy. So it's not unimportant. But a 5% output gain won't necessarily lead to employment. In some cases, it will. You may have 5% more jobs. In other cases, if people have not been working at full pace, they've only been working at the capacity that the machinery and the factory has been used and the labor has been used, it's only been 75%. Then if you expand your capacity by 5%, you take it to 80%. So I raise that because there's often a misunderstanding in how we communicate, and we need to communicate better as the ministry and as the IDC about what the impact of jobs are. But most of the IDC funding actually increases the number of jobs in an establishment. In other words, it's new jobs. And in the IDC key performance indicators, I've put a higher weight, and the board has put a higher weight to new jobs. So we don't want the IDC just to focus on saving existing jobs. That's, of course, important. But we've got to grow the number of jobs, create new opportunities. 19.1 billion rand of funding has been approved in this period to designated groups. If one thinks about that, that's quite astonishingly high. 19 billion rand that's gone to black South Africans for black industrialists, women, or youth. And if you say each time the IDC makes money available to someone, they must also put their own money on the table, or they must get money from a bank, or they must get money from another investor. So that's the co-investment. And that's what's really important about the IDC, that it partners with the private sector. It's not a state-run set of factories and mines and so on. With few exceptions, but generally it seeks partners. It prefers to have private partners. So the total investment facilitated in this period is 34.5 billion rand. Slide 13 just gives a little bit more detail on the numbers. So with what we've done here is we've said we've now run the IDC's focus program, the new mandate, call it the new mandate, for 42 months. By the new mandate, I mean the announcements that was made in the budget vote in 2015. So since 2015 and today, 42 months. So we've compared what the IDC has invested in this period, this 42 months, compared to the previous 42 months, just to give an indication, is it working, is it not working, and what can we learn from it? If we look at women in that period from October 2011 to March 2015, the blue indicates the amount of money the IDC committed to women empowered enterprises. And the red indicates what the IDC has done in this past 42 months. So the blue is the previous 42, the red is the current 42. And so what's happened there is there's been a 97% increase. In other words, to put it simply, we've basically doubled the amount of commitments the IDC has made to women-empowered enterprises in that period. Looking at youth, youth is the really very significant story, and I'll come back to youth in a moment, but it's 1,345% increase. I'll come back to that. The third one is black industrialists. Now, there was not a black industrialist program before May 2015. So what we did was we took examples where the IDC had supported black South Africans in an enterprise where black South Africans were the majority, 51%. Now, it's not quite the same as black industrialists, because black industrialists also has the other component. It must be owned and controlled. So you must have hands-on experience. You can't be a passive majority shareholder. You've got to have a more active role. And whereas previously it was any sector of the economy, under the black industrialists, it's focused on the areas where we're seeking to grow the economy actively. So it's not a completely like for like, but it's the best you can get. It's a reasonable proxy of what's happened. And comparing majority black-owned enterprises, which is the blue for the previous period, and the black industrialists, which is also majority black-owned, but it's owned and controlled, for the post-period, we have 151% increase. So a very sharp increase also on a as close to like-for-like as we can get. Slide 14, we say, what the data shows is that a well-designed target can lift the rate of investment for designated groups significantly. And while this applies to all three categories of targets set in 2015, the increase in youth-empowered funding is particularly large, and there's a reason for it. The reason is that we signed the Youth Employment Accord in 2013, and immediately got the IDC to work on how to tool up for the commitments in the Youth Accord. And honorable members will see it took maybe about a year and a half or so to really get going. And after that, we saw a significant focus on young people and unlocking their opportunity in the economy. I think I do want to make the point that the committee, not just the executive, but the committee played a very important role in this, in that we announced this as the budget vote, and we've had broad support from across all the political parties in the committee for this program, I mean the concept, the broad principles of it. And so it shows Parliament working, it shows target setting working, if it's well designed and we put the effort in. Slide 15 raises a very important question, and it's a question to which one can never give an absolute answer. But when we give all this information, the question is, is this genuine? Is it perhaps not fronting by older established companies that are simply using women or young people or black South Africans? So I asked the IDC to help us just share with the committee the measures it has in place to ensure that the claims about ownership is genuine. And so the IDC has given us a number of examples of what they do. Their due diligence process is quite a tough process. In fact, many people have complained, I know, to committee members sometimes about it, but it's necessary because it's public money, and they assess the management team of the company being funded. They do a legal review, compliance checks, and they review the shareholders' personal balance sheets. They also have teams investigating transactions. They get thoroughly informed, I'm told, about fronting, and the IDC makes it clear in every transaction that there are enormous consequences if anyone seeks to front. I'm also advised that the teams ensure that transactions do not involve fronting, and examples of this is that they provide evidence to the credit approval committees. So it's not only at the level of the official interacting from the IDC with the company, but it's more broadly. And then, of course, there's a fraud hotline available to anyone to report fraud, including fronting. The IDC regards fronting as a subset of fraudulent misrepresentation. So what we want to do next, Chairperson, is to briefly run through the case studies, starting with agro-processing and agriculture. I'm not going to go through every slide in considerable detail, but initially I want to go through it fairly thoroughly, and then we can run through it a bit slower. So slide 17 says, for agriculture and agro-processing, what has the IDC done? It's approved 315 million rand in this period to designated groups. So this is not the entire money the IDC has committed to agro-processing. This is just for ones involving women or youth or black industrialists. And if one then looks at the 595 million, that indicates the total investment that was facilitated. So it's the IDC funding plus counterparty funding. And then we break it down into 221 million, so that should be, all of those should be millions. So put an M in honorable members, because I'm sure we can all finance that from our back pocket without the M. That's funding for 16 black industrialists, 221 million. 154 million for 10 women empowered companies, and 175 million in 12 youth empowered companies. And then we provide information on jobs created. So in this case, about 1300 jobs have been created and saved. We break it down, call it 1000 jobs created and 344 jobs saved. So that in each section we'll have a little summary like that. Now, going to the case study, the first case study is of Johannes Matsole from Rietfontein Agri Partners, and he does the milling of maize. And it's an interesting story. He was an educator, wanted to use, to get unused land into production, got an IDC loan as a startup, and more than 50 emerging farmers joined the initiative, and they've got a partnership with commercial farmers. They're getting coaching and mentorship and so on. And what has the IDC money been used for? It's been used for funding plant equipment and working capital. And in the little box on the right-hand side, honorable members will see a quick summary, key things. So you'll see his name, the factory name, the product, the milling of maize. It's in Frankfurt in the Free State. It's an IDC startup loan, and 49 jobs have been created. The next one is just a nice picture of Rietfontein. Going to case study number two, it's Joseph Dlamini from Best Value Foods. He got a loan from the IDC to help him start a company based in Midrand in Gauteng. And they do pre-cut and package fresh fruit and vegetables. And they sell it to the catering and retail markets. And they've created 66 jobs. And Mr. Dlamini used the money to purchase equipment to maintain the cold chain. So from the point where the fruit is available, if you keep it reasonably chilled, you keep it fresher. And so it's more valuable and it's more usable by consumers. So investing in that cold value chain has been what the IDC has helped him with. The third one is someone that I think the committee knows well, so I'm not going to dwell too much on it, but it's Maneli Pets, Tlantla Dlamini, a young entrepreneur. I should just point out in the little box, honorable members will see black industrialists and youth. So he's both a young person, but he's also a black industrialist. He started with an IDC loan, and he makes luxury pet food. When I see all the ingredients, ostrich, venison, chicken, lamb, and so on, clearly some pets are eating well. And he exports this to the UK, United States, Europe, and Japan. And it creates jobs in South Africa. 95 jobs have been created, and he's recently expanded his plant and equipment. He is based in Gauteng. Then case 34 is Apiwe Musani Mawela, who's really a beer brewer. So she does these craft beers, you know, small runs of beer. And she's got a company called Brewster's Craft, and they produce these beers. They're based in Florida and Gauteng. She got a startup loan from the IDC, and she created 10 jobs. There's also an interesting backstory about her. She's also quite keen to support others. So she's now got a training course, and she offers her little brewery as a place where people can do laboratory testing and come and try their ideas out. So she's trying to invest back with other young people. Case study 5 is an interesting example. It's from a woman called Lisa De La Harp. Lisa and Stefan De La Harp set up a operation called Karoo Catch in Graafrenet, and it's created 229 jobs. And they basically farm fish. So this is aquaculture, and then they process them into products including braaivors and burgers, which are actually made from fish, it's then sold in to the major retailers. Now here's an example of a woman, honorable members will see it's a white woman, and as part of transformation is to give opportunities to unlock many different parts of the society that haven't had enough opportunity in the past, so that we bring their energy and their entrepreneurship into the economy. The next one is Saucy Secrets, case number 6. It's an IDC loan to Rashad Musa, and his company is called Saucy Secrets. And he saw an opportunity to develop sources for low and middle income consumers, and they established a factory in Uitenhage, and later they expanded the factory. So this money would then be also for the expansion of the operation. They've created 41 jobs, and they do all sorts of interesting things with fruit and with jams and nectars and so on. The final one in agro-processing is for a woman, Sipokazi Vokwana, a company's innovative bold concepts, and she used the IDC loan to buy equipment and set up working capital for her agro-processing company. And she'll be making health drinks to compete in the juice market. And what she does is she takes these wheat grass juices and she mixes them with different flavors and other fruit juices, because if you drink the green wheatgrass, I don't know if honorable members had the pleasure of doing so, it's very good for you, but your taste buds don't agree with you. And so when you mix it with juices and so on, it becomes a bit more palatable and usable. So those are examples of different kind of things in agro-processing. Non-members will see many of them are small niche operations, but they're trying to bring more South Africans into processing the fruit of the farm. And they're very, very diverse. And quite a few of them, we hope, can really grow in the export market also. Next, we do a look at transport. This is a big one. So basically, if I go back to agro-processing, so my request to the IDC, talking to the board and the management, is these are really good things, and we need to scale up now more things that we can do in agriculture so that we really lift the numbers quite significantly. Turning to transport, honorable members will see in slide 27, 1.95 billion rand in IDC funding, 2.6 billion in total investment facilitated, and then there's a breakdown Indomini went into black industrialists, women-empowered companies, and youth-empowered companies. Turning then to the first case study, again, it's a person known to the committee, Pat Nodada from Basma. Funding from the IDC helped to establish him to purchase a small bus company and grow it into a major bus producer. He became the shareholder and major shareholder and CEO of Busmart in 2011, and they opened another facility in Blackheath in Cape Town in 2013, and IDC funding has helped them to expand beyond that period. And so honorable members will see they use 96% local content. They've got now a new operation in Randfontein in Gauteng, in addition to the one that they've got in Blackheath in Cape Town. And every time anyone drives in a My City bus, it's actually from Pat Nodada's factory. Turning to case study two, this is Busisiwe Lebaka. She's from a company, Bukobopa Holdings, and they do basically, they refurbish, upgrade, and maintain various kinds of trucks and other rolling stock. And they do it for, they do rail components for man trucks, components for man trucks and rail components in general. They're expanding the manufacture of wagon doors and cabs for locomotives, and they're also working on a new rail project in Tanzania. Now, this example, there was one other also, but we couldn't put all the examples in. They also show that if we're going to become Africa's rail manufacturing hub, then it's not just the large companies that can service this market. Obviously, they're quite important, your transport, rail engineering, and the other big companies. But you must also find opportunities for smaller players to come in. The next one is Natalie Johannes, a company called Q-Plus in Uitenhage. They do components for the automobile sector, all these molded plasticky products, and they now employ 196 people supplying VW, Mercedes, and BMW. Now, why is this important? It's important because we put quite a bit of resources into the auto sector. But if you look at the big auto players, they're all foreign-owned. And so if you want to get South African equity in, you've got to look at components that supply the big OEMs. Ford is not going to significantly change their shareholding, but Ford can be required to buy more products that go into making the Ford Bucky or BMW into making the BM cab from local producers. And if we do that and we bring South Africans in, we can ensure that the dividend flows, the profit, basically enlarges the South African savings base and our own development. The next case study four, is Temba Mtati, and he's in a company called Yenza Manufacturing. It's also in the auto supply sector, and he started his business with one machine and three employees. He's now created 24 jobs, and the IDC funding was used to purchase coating facility and steel press machine last year in his company. Moving on to media, film, and TV, the IDC put a lot of money in here, 648 million rand, but it virtually, attracted an equal amount. So if you add the two together, it's 1.3 billion rand of total investment that was facilitated. And honorable members will see there how it's been distributed. If I go to slide 34, you'll see the example of Teboho Maile, who produced a movie called The Indian Detective. And it's a show, a Canadian show, comedy show, and the IDC was approached to fund the South African portion of production costs, creating 18 jobs. And apparently, I'm told here that the scenes from India were filmed in South Africa also. And the story involves a police officer from Canada who gets involved in a murder investigation. Now, we highlight this because we want to create a platform in South Africa where movie makers across the world come here and use South Africa as a location. And anyone who watches movies will see every city in the world trying to compete for that. You see Toronto and Melbourne and London, all of them paying to attract films to come and get filmed there because it brings a lot of revenue, all sorts of revenue. The second case study is for Isaac Mohajani, and he made a movie. He is a 90% owner of a animation studio. This is what makes those little cartoony kind of things. And his first animated TV series is called Anansi. It's a 26-part action adventure for children with an African story with heroic characters that children can look up to. Very important. If young people only get one sense of the world from cartoon characters, they're all made in California, then first, their ability to relate culturally to that is limited. But secondly, all sorts of unintended consequences arise from that. So you want to enrich the opportunity for young people to see African heroes, local heroes, South African heroes, and so on. He's now been selected by Disney UK as a project to mentor. So hopefully more of his product can get into the market. Fearless Film, it's Menzi Dabede who's running this operation. And he has just released his movie. It's a Leon Schuster movie, Frank and Fearless, about a little rhino. And so it tells the story of an old man and a boy and their efforts to save a rhino. And it's just opened, I think, a weekend or two ago. And I'm sure honorable members will be taking their children to go and see this South African movie. The next one is Tsulu Mashile. And she did a film, Farewell Ella Bella. The next one is Charles van der Merwe. He did Afrikaans romantic comedy drama about a wedding weekend called Wonderless, and there we even quote Huisgenoot to give examples of how the world sees that. And he's a young filmmaker, so both the previous one, Sulu, and Charles are young South Africans who are making movies and telling South Africa's great stories. The next one is Bianca Isaacs from KZN, Honorable Pele, and she produced a film, 3 Days to Go. It's a comedy about an Indian family. I don't know why all the comedies are about Indians, which is expected to have wide appeal. And then the final one is a movie that it's called Sew the Winter to My Skin, and it's produced by Leila Swart and Jamil Tobeka. And I haven't seen the movie yet, but I've read about the movie, and it's a fascinating story about someone called John Kepe, who lived around the Craddock area, and he hid in a cave. This is set in the first half of the last century, and it tells a story of his survival as what people may call a bandit, someone who basically lives off the land and takes sheep and other things. And I mean, it's telling South African stories, and that's part of what the IDC does. It must look at the financial return, but it's telling those stories. I'm hoping that honorable members can go and watch this movie too. Next one is case studies in mining, metal, machinery and equipment. 8.2 billion rand funding by the IDC. So still very heavily weighted to this area. Important because you want to bring black South Africans and women and young people into what is still the base of traditional economy. But if one looks forward, one wants to make sure that we also expand the new industries. So this work consolidates an existing area, and some of what I've said earlier brings in new industries. 11 billion rand total investment facilitated, and honorable members will see the detail there. The first case study, again, is someone that I think committee members may know, Daphne Nkosi. She received funding from the IDC that helped set up a manganese mine and sinter plant in Hot as Hell. 977 jobs created, and it's the first project of this scale that has been built from the ground up by a female entrepreneur. And Kalahari exports its products at the moment. We hope we can get more of that into ferromanganese in future, into steel making in South Africa. But honourable members will see that story. So yes, quite a big story, quite a significant investment. Next one is in coal, a company called Overloop Colliery, and Ontiretse Senosi is the entrepreneur. He used a loan from the IDC to start up this operation, and they expect to have 250 jobs when it's completed, and that's in Middelburg in Mpumalanga. The next one is Sharon Mugubi from Roniwa Analytica. And this operation is basically, we call it a laboratory for testing coal. So they look at the coal content, the sulfur in the coal and so on, which you need to know to be able to determine whether the coal is suitable for particular kinds of power stations and so on. And they then provide it as a service to mines in the coal mining industry. And 16 jobs were created through this investment. The next one is Ruli Diseko. He's a young black industrialist. And he worked at various points at Lonmin, then he worked at the Department of Mineral Resources, and then as a commodity trader. He saw an opportunity to use raw material to manufacture batteries, and they did a feasibility study to establish how to purify your nickel sulfate, which is a byproduct from Lonmin's platinum mining operations. The study, I am advised, confirmed the feasibility of the venture, and the IDC then approved funding for the plant. Once completed, the facility will take crude nickel sulfate byproduct and process it to virtually pure battery-grade material. So here's an example of beneficiation. So very often we ask, are there any successful examples? And the answer is there are some. They're not scaled up enough yet in the country, but these are examples of getting it right. And this is in Marikana in Northwest, and it's created or will be creating 265 jobs. The next case study is also someone the committee, I think, may have visited, Sibusiso Mapatiani. And I spoke about him a couple of years ago in my budget speech, and he's taken over Naledi Foundry in Benoni and runs this very significant operation, and they're situated on a massive complex that is apparently 13 rugby fields big. He employs 221 people, and he has two production lines and a melting capacity of 250 tons a day. Now, a foundry is really the heart of your industrialization. This is where it starts, foundries and steel mills. So bringing entrepreneurs in there is important, and this loan has facilitated that. The next one is Edwin Pala, who is from a company called Alcon Marepa. And they produce aluminium OVET conductors for our various power systems. The IDC loan has been in the form of a guarantee. So what the IDC says is, you can go to a bank, you can go to any financier and tell them that the IDC guarantees the loan. So if you're unable to pay up, the IDC will step in. That means the money doesn't technically leave the IDC bank account, so it can be used for more than one purpose, but in the event that there's a default, then the IDC obviously stands guarantor. So it's a form of assistance in a period where the IDC may want to nurse its balance sheet a bit more carefully. Moving to case study number 7, Yusuf Foraji. It's a company called Art Mining Equipment. and they supply mining equipment like hydraulic rock drills, dumpsters, trucks, utility vehicles, graders, and so on, to the mining sector, and they've created 60 jobs. Case study 8 is Rafiq Mohammed, he runs a company called SS Steel Mills. And SS Steel Mills recently relocated to new premises as part of expanding. It's in Meyerton in Gauteng, it produces roof sheeting. So when people build informal homes in particular, but also formal homes, sometimes the roof sheeting would be used. RV tiles, fencing products, and so on. It was quite a big employment impact, 488 jobs created, and quite a few of the jobs were in the construction of the new premises. Case study 9 is Bongani Kumalo from Bosch Peak Engineering, and they do a range of work for OEMs. OEM is the original equipment manufacturer and state-owned enterprises. And they facilitate, or the funding facilitated that they could expand into further parts of the production or the engineering work around machines and the manufacturing of steel spares and components. 37 jobs in Newcastle in KZN. Next is Kuseni Dlamini. Kuseni Dlamini, two operations, G5P Nuco and DeMarco Transformers. And they basically manufacture large bore spiral welded pipes, and in the other operation, transformers. They're based in Meyerton in Joburg, and it's created 367 jobs as a result of the entrepreneurial efforts that's been put in. The slide contains further details of the work. The next one, slide 11, is Nduduzi Ngomezulu, and he is from BI Power Consortium, and they manufacture plasma and laser cut steel components in L Road in Gauteng. Dorothy Botsi is from Alvin Cables, and they do electric cables for mining, industrial, and the auto sector. And this wasn't a job creation. This was really allowing her to expand her operations, but she employs 241 people. And so the IDC loan allowed her, as a black South African woman, to come in and get a controlling interest in this company called Alvin Cables. The next one is case study 13, Koreshni Naidu, and she's with Shlakani Engineering Service, and they manufacture a variety of engineered steel products. Things like chutes and tanks and drums and pulleys and building structures and conveyor structures and so on. And 10 jobs were created as a result of this. Case study 14 is Colin Mtombeni. And he does something very interesting, 3D printing. And his clients range from small shops to large retailers with a footprint across the continent. And they do perspex painting, wiring, all of that is included in the funding that the IDC provided. 100 jobs were created in this metal signage and branding company. Final one is Sipo Ndanda from a company called Anderson and Kerr. It's an old company, and IDC funding was provided to enable him to acquire the business, and they design and manufacture hydraulic and pneumatic machinery. I move next to fashion manufacturing, and there the IDC has come in with 443 million rand funding, and that got doubled, almost doubled by counterparty funding. And there's a few examples. Cortex Textiles, this is an old factory, And it was taken over by black South Africans. It employs 250 people, but the IDC funding allowed them to expand into curtain manufacturing. And they now make around 1 million ready-made curtains a year. So there's a lot of curtains. And through the IDC support, 101 jobs were created. The next one is Chaz Ngaka. She runs a company called Kala Lifestyle, and she manufactures ladies' wear. The business started in October 2015 when she opened a retail shop called Kala Curves in Nelson Mandela Square in Sandton, and she was selling plus-size garments. And the IDC funding, together with the funding she managed to also secure, helped her to expand the business, and 29 jobs were created. She's in Joburg. The next one is clothing manufacturer, Mahaluchmi and Hagun are two partners. I think it's a husband and wife team with 50% equal shareholding. And this is a company in Putatichaba in the Twakwa area that was planning to close down with a loss of 1,300 jobs. And they were planning to move to Lesotho, and through the IDC loan, they retained the operation in South Africa, and they are in a range of garments, men and ladies' fashion, children's outwear, corporate wear, and so on. The final example is a company called Luomo in Atlantis, Akbar Abbas. He runs a factory called Luomo Atlantis, and the IDC loan was used to assist them to expand production. Now, this company used to basically bring clothes in from elsewhere. And what the IDC loan assisted them to do is to establish trouser manufacturing, bring trouser manufacturing back home, so to speak. I'm not sure if this is the same factory, but I think they make the Dickies pants that young people in townships used to like quite a lot. I can see... Honorable Piccinini may have been aware of those trousers. Then we go to tourism, and under tourism we've indicated almost R1 billion of funding over this period, and honorable members will see more details on slide 65. Where has the money gone to? A few examples. The first one is Zodwa and Sibusiso Chabalala, who have something called Ebundu Lodge. It's a three-star establishment between Nelspruit and White River. So I don't know if Deputy Minister's been there. And it has a 250-seater restaurant with a wedding chapel and 9 conference venues. So it's quite, what they've done is they've really tried to go for the conference market by having accommodation and family entertainment, zoo, farm, kids' play areas, spa, those kind of things.
Is it Bundu or a Bundu? We know of Bundu. Bundu Lodge, not a Bundu.
Okay, perhaps it's Bundu. I'm not going to put my name on the line on that one, but I'm sure Krista will, before I'm finished speaking, tell me if it's Bundu or a Bundu. Because the chair seems to have first-hand experience that always trumps anything else, Christo. The next one is Destiny Exclusive Hotels. So this is Zamani Lejani. And when I first heard about it, I thought it was quite an interesting thing. It's a very large operation. It's near to OR Tambo. And when I said, but hang on, are you telling me 588 jobs? I mean, that seems like a lot for a hotel. The IDC came back and said, no, it is like that because this will be a massive expansion. They're taking a small place and building 236 rooms, facilities for special functions such as weddings and so on. And then the final one is Noako Bosch. Glenshield Boutique Hotel, and this is a hotel and conference facility based in Limpopo. And it's a country getaway with luxury rooms and executive suites for members of parliament and others who need a weekend away from hard work. And so the IDC loan has supported 88 jobs, of which 67 are permanent and 19 were during the construction period. Moving to chemicals and pharmaceuticals, there's about R1 billion in funding. I'm just rounding up there. And going to the case studies, we see Yvonne and Roland Rakuduve in a company called Bocconi Gas, and they produce medical and industrial gases that's used across the country. And this is the first South African woman-owned gas production company with plant production of medical and industrial gas. Then there's one, Akil Desai. It's a feasibility study for a kit to collect urine samples when you go to the doctor. And he developed this special product, and it's now going through all the trials, and it's being registered with regular regulatory bodies. So here's an example where the IDC is backing something. It's not going to create immediately any jobs, because now it's taking the concept through mass trials, taking it to regulators and say, is it approved? But once those approvals come and you begin to manufacture and make these available, that's where the job creation takes place. So ordinarily, it may be seen as zero because it's still in feasibility. But without that money, you can never take an idea and take it to market. Ismail Semenya is from a company, Oil Spill Excellence, and they do work to clean up toxins from oil spills and contaminated soils, and they take away the waste from mining companies and from fuel companies and so on. And the funding will allow Mr. Semenya to expand the plant, to purchase equipment, and to have working capital with 38 jobs created in Northwest. Next is Mushlomi Mutobi, and he's from Daliso Holdings, and they're in the manufacture of sodium sulfate products. And the IDC has funded the construction of a plant for that can use to commercialize the process. 184 jobs are expected when this is completed. Turning to the next slide, Paula Bomela and Bantu Mselana, and they run a company called Flowtight SA, and they manufacture glass fiber plastic pipes and fittings. So it's these massive pipes that we see around, used by water boards and municipalities, both for water but also for bulk sewage that is moved around. And the IDC funding was used to acquire the assets and working capital. Case study 6 is involving Mtunzi Lugulwana, and it's in an operation that manufacture flexible polyester metallized foam. That they use it for cables and for packaging, and there are different reasons. Sometimes it's a barrier on the product. Sometimes it's for I'm told, aesthetic purposes. The next slide, 77, I'm sure honorable members will immediately recognize the face there. It's Connie Ferguson, and she has set up an operation, Coney Multinational Brands, and they make cosmetics. And it's now sold in ShopRite, for example. The IDC funding has been used to grow the operation and extend the distribution. You will remember from generations the soap opera. Next are case studies in energy and infrastructure. The top slide on page 79 sets out 3.8 billion rand in this area that has generated 12.5 billion rand of total investment. And there's quite a few examples here. For example, case study one deals with a woman who started a solar operation or as an interest rather in a very small 5 megawatt solar voltaic operation. The next one, Philip Mulungu, is someone who makes charcoal for biomass we export here in the Western Cape. The next one is a woman who is involved in a company that does energy efficient solutions. So what they did was they got a contract to put these lighting in all the Edcon stores right through the country. And so they needed working capital to be able to manage that project. Afrika Power is it's a company with women and black South Africans, and it does services for the power sector and for the mining, for the power infrastructure sector rather. The next one is Letabo Makgobo, and this is an interesting one. They make stone, the cladding that you use in your house to decorate the house a little bit. And up to now, a lot of this stone was imported. And so they formed a company called Baobab Exclusive African Stone, and there's a little picture of the stone that they're using. There's also a project on the recycling industry on case study 6, a electric meters company in case study 7, a black industrialist who does railway sleepers in case study 8, but not the normal wooden sleepers, these are concrete sleepers. And case study 9 is someone who's involved in the design and assembly of electrical distribution boards. Case study 10 is Highveld Steel, where the IDC is given some working capital. And here are some pictures on slide 90 of 700 learners who have been through basic engineering training at the plant. And we'll tell the Highveld story more in future. But there are now, I'm told, 1,100 workers employed in the industrial park. I mean, from a place that completely closed down, and they're slowly rebuilding. The next picture shows some of their farming activities. Moving on to new industries and ICT, the IDC put 1.1 billion rand in, and the counterparties raised an extra 400 million, so the total investment was 1.5 billion. And there's quite a few examples here. There's an example of a woman called Mamokete Ramatle, and she's into fiber optics and wireless telecoms. There's an example of Prof. Sabelo Mhlanga. We used his example, honorable members may recall, in quarter two's report under the fourth industrial revolution. And so it's a really interesting example of what the IDC is supporting. The next case study, Monde Mabala, is a company that uses an IDC loan, and they make cell phone masts. And they're in Port Elizabeth, and they've got 8 jobs there. And then Irene Shanley from a company called Smile Telecoms, and they do telecommunications across the African continent. They have become fairly big, I'm told, in Nigeria. And it's an IDC startup loan. And we ask the question, now, how does South Africa benefit from it? Obviously in two ways. One is stimulating economic activity in the continent helps. But I'm also advised that their back office support is through procuring goods and services from companies based in South Africa, like Ericsson, South Africa, XON Systems, Jasco and so on. So there's a little bit of detail on slide 97 on how they use their South African parentage to bring goods and services to the rest of the continent. The next one, case study 5, is Domestly. It's an IDC loan provided for the startup funding to establish a company where basically if you need a domestic worker at short notice, you just use your phone, you download the app, and you quickly say, Wednesday, there'll be a portfolio committee meeting early, so it won't be possible for the honorable member maybe to clean the room, so you quickly get someone available via this app. People make money with these things. And I'm told that 96 jobs have been created through this program. And as young people, they're just generating value in things that we may not see the opportunity, but money is to be made there. Then slide 99 is case study 6. It's a woman, Koliswa Kakana, who is in 100% black industrialist and women-owned company. And she's the CEO, and they provide ICT services to clients like MTN, Lonmin, Eskom, Kucha, UNITA, the airport companies, and others. And then the final one is case study 7. It's George Zide, and it's in the provision of IT hardware and software. Now, what we've done is in slide 102, we've also put in place a few words on the definitions the IDC use. So a black industrialist is defined as a black entrepreneur who creates and owns industrial capacity and provides long-term strategic and operational leadership to the business. And so by definition, this can't be a portfolio or purely financial investor. Portfolio investor is what you do is you basically run an investment holding company and you get 20% here, 30% here, maybe even 60% there. But all you do is you just wait for the financial results to come out at the end of the year. If you like it, you keep in. If you don't like it, you may move out. So the IDC says that's a passive thing. That's not going to bring people into building new businesses and running businesses. So they don't look for that. They look for active involvement. And so they've got something, the characteristics of a black industrialist. So high level of ownership, control over the business, risk-taking, IPAP and IDC focus areas, long-term commitment to the business, and you provide leadership to the business. If we turn the page, not every business has to be 100% black-owned. You're looking for control, because you want to bring in other players with technology, market knowledge, access to skills, or access to capital. Now, when we use women empowered, we mean a minimum of 25% shareholding by women. And when we use youth empowered, we mean a minimum of 25% shareholding. So it could be 40%, 80%, even 100%. That's how the terms are used. Honorable members, I'm not going to take the committee through the additional storylines because of time, but what they are, they represent the human faces behind the IDC program, and so if honorable members look at that, you'll meet young people, you'll meet entrepreneurs, you'll meet community members, and it was written up to try to bring out the examples of what sits behind or under the numbers for the IDC. So they're a useful additional bit of information that the committee may have reference to that provides an insight into the work of the IDC. So, honorable members, I want to conclude by indicating that we've taken something like 64 case studies or examples, excluding the ones that are in the separate handout, and they represent a sample. They're not the full list. They're a sample of the kind of things that the IDC does. And we hope that it does go some way to answering the question that the committee put, which was the committee was curious to know the kind of activities that the IDC supports in the economy. Thank you very much, honourable members, and I look to no doubt the work. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Minister. Can we have a 10-minute break, please, and then we'll come back and discuss.
Turkey people in a luxury of ideas. You and I shouldn't underestimate the discipline of these people in the state.
I don't want to change the whole thing, and they want to make me send out something, and I don't want to send out.
And actually, that is talking by general,
sort of a web style.
He doesn't listen to you on how he wants to be. Like, just make it work and make sure it's great.
Now they want me to start off with all the professional.
That's the only one.
The Davos style conversation. But I don't want to be like front and center. You get my point?
Malete. I'm going to engage with this properly before 2 o'clock, and then I'll be on top of that, all right?
Thank you. Members have to break at least for lunch, even if it's 45 minutes, but they must have something to eat before the sitting. Let's take the opportunity to thank the minister for the presentation. And what I like is, you know, I think we should continue with this, the style of reporting, you know, sector specific reporting. It makes these things easier and it makes things well understood. And for those who do not have, who are doubting actually, it's easier for them to follow up. So thank you, Minister, for making things easier. What I've noted though is the confusion around names. I'll give an example. You would say somebody's name is this, and then on the small bracket, I don't know, that's where you explain everything, then the name is something else. I want to give you a direct example now. I saw it in 2 to 3 of the areas, for instance. You'd say, you'll bear with me, I did not know exactly which page, but I remember very well. Who is a woman? No, I've noted that one. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Mazalek, okay.
Which was the first one? I'm going to waste your time, you'll pardon me. On the case studies. I'll come back to it, but you have, I saw two to three names that were not correlating, but I think we can continue. I'll come back to it. I'm getting tired, I think. Okay, that is what I've noted, and the last one is the one that that Etienne was talking to, the one on the woman who's a man.
What do you say on that issue?
But you did understand what I wanted to say. You do understand, Minister, what I want to say. Am I looking at the same? No wonder. Sorry, I'm looking at the wrong slide. No, you are saying a woman, BI, when is a male. Did you see that, Minister? That is the slide 43.
8:48.
Yeah, slide 48. Mine is not. Even black, even Sipon Ndanda is said to be black industrialist woman. Was, I think it's slide 57. I'll come back to the other names. We don't have time. But I think we got the gist of the message here, very clear and helpful in terms of the zooming into the sector. Members, we needed this information. It is provided for us in terms of the impact the IDC fund is making, especially in the black industrialist sector. Yeah, we know it's not much, especially with the challenges that we're having in relation to job creation, but in terms of real sector penetration, I think it's trying. We are really trying and creating new industries that we know that previously they used to be white, male-dominated. We now beginning to change. And I think that's all what transformation is all about. Changing the face of our business sector and economy in general. What are we saying, members, in terms of in our response to this presentation? Do you have any questions? Do you have any comments? We still want to apply our minds on what we've just received. Do you want to do further research? Some of these projects actually we've been to some of them, so at least you can attest to what is being said here. Ms. Atkinson?
Thanks very much, Chair. Thank you very much, Minister, for a very comprehensive presentation. It's quite impressive when you see the variety of industries that the IDC is involved in, and certainly the variety of projects as well. There were just two things that interested me. One was we've actually, over the last couple of years, paid two visits to the Soweto Gold Brewery. It did seem very hopeful when you were there. We're just wondering if you've got any updates on that as to where they're going and what's happening there. And then the second one was just quite interesting on this second portion of information you provided us. It's on a City Press page. It's called Mixed Fortunes for Aerosol, and I think it's dated the 22nd of November 2015. And I know that's 3 years ago, but it shows the IDC's manufacturing industry funding, and then it shows all the different parts of the country that they've provided funding for, and then different parts of Africa. Let me see if you can get to that before. So you can. It's about two-thirds of the way through. It says Mixed Fortunes for Aerosud. Is the headline there.
Which page is that, right?
They're not numbered, unfortunately. Yeah. You got it, yeah. So on the right hand side of the page, they've got all the different IDC's manufacturing industry funding, and they show the breakdown, obviously, of the different provinces and the different countries as well. The one thing that interested me there was that we've got an investment of 95.8 million rand in Russia. And I was just wondering if you have any idea what that might relate to, and also just what the rationale behind that was. Because certainly Russia's a long way away from us, and it would be difficult for the IDC to be able to keep an eye on that investment, I would think. So one can understand the rationale for South Africa or even Africa, but certainly moving to Russia is quite a long way from our backyard, basically. Thank you, Minister.
Thank you. Ms. Atkinson? Dr. Tien?
Thank you very much, Chair. Let's appreciate the presentation and the good work of the IDC. Chairperson, we previously visited this mine, Kalahari Manganese, and it is good to see that it is actually growing and improving. It says here she's already created 977 jobs and is exporting. Can we get a little bit more information as to where she exports to and whether our embassies and DECO are assisting this company to source more customers abroad? Just to get an idea as to whether she's getting the type of domestic support that she should be getting from all of us. The last one, Chair, very briefly, refers to slide number 30, which is in the automotive industry. There is Natalie Johannes there, a budding, you know, black industrialist woman. She's in partnership with Tom Dudor. We need to know if the IDC has had an opportunity to just double-check. We're not suspicious, but there are some people who want to make a quick buck. They'll quickly just partner a black woman or a black man, and they get the status of BEEE and so on. Meanwhile, there's fronting that is happening. Can the IDC indicate whether they were able to investigate and satisfy themselves that Ms. Natalie Johannes is indeed in partnership with Mr. Tom Dudoy, that there is no fronting that is going on there. And lastly, Chair, as you have indicated, the document needs to be cleaned up, you know, just technical glitches here and there. I think the Minister has noted that, so that they sort it out. As I was indicating on slide 48, is supposed to be black industrialist women. This is a women sector here. But we've got the Edwin Parler and his picture there. But it's supposed to be for women there. So those are just small technical things that need to be cleaned so that when someone goes through our document, they must not, you know, have the opportunity just to see glitches here and there. But otherwise, good work that is done here by the IDC, and we appreciate the work. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Dr. Tian. I'll begin in it.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I think the exercise that we asked for by the committee, or by the DMR now, I'm talking about minerals, by the EDD, is really covered. You know, when we talk about impact and jobs in that particular day, we're talking about all this back in the Australia. It makes me to remember that day that we have when we're speaking about this billion rand that is coming to help. I still remember the parliament. Everyone was clapping. Mm-hmm. Now, in my mind, I was saying, how far are we now? And now, when the proof is here, you know, it's in the pudding. It's something else now that, I don't want to really to, but I want to commend, to say, I think this is a starting point. You remember our country, we are weak on manufacturing. But you can see now there's a beginning of the new process that we normally take everything to abroad, where they manufacture our mines and all of that. Now things are changing. We are going to start to beneficiate. That's where we want to move to. We'll be very happy that if we can, whilst we're moving to that direction, we can move with speed, on that part of manufacturing ourselves, so that we're able to do things, you know, rings and all of that. This gold must not go raw out of this country. We want to beneficiate now. These are the issues that I foresee moving forward, that this fifth year parliament has started to do whatever we dream of. It means the sixth parliament will have to take over and make sure that they dealt with that particular part. So mine is to comment, is not to raise any particular mind on this matter. But I would say what we requested for, we did receive. Now it's a question of improving from where we are, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dr. Pekinini. Any other? Okay, thank you so much, Minister. That's those are the questions. I just want to refer you to the slides I was talking about. I have slide 38. You'll see the shark or shell, the name, because, you know, they are appearing differently there, Van der Merwe. On the other side is shark, on the other side is shell. And then when you go to slide 40, there's Kubeka and then there's Ubeka, the surname there. I'm not sure which is which. Then you go again to slide 44. Is it Sinori or Sinosi? I think it's because on the other side is Sinori, other side is Sinosi. So we need to be clear on that one. And then Daphne Mashile Nkosi is on the other side, is Daphne Nkosi. I don't think she'll be happy because I know she used double barrel, Mashile Nkosi. So consistency, I think these are technical issues that the deadline was talking to. We just happy, Minister, that you were able to showcase. This is within a particular reporting period. We still have, like Mr. Atkinson was asking about the Soweto Code, which is something that appeared in the previous financial year and the years before that. I think this is what we've been asking about, is progress, because they were supposed, they've identified land somewhere else they needed funding for that land just to expand. How far they, I mean, is there an industry in Soweto, deep down in Soweto, Orlando? So it's something that is really making us proud also. But we need to get that kind of clarity as to whether they are succeeding, they've succeeded or not. I know the question should have been asked to the CEO of IDC, because he's hands-on on that matter. Otherwise, Minister, may I hand over to you for responses? May I request that happen within the 15 minutes, and then I'm going to steal just 15 minutes of members. Yes, thank you.
First, thank you very much, Chair, and thank you very much for the very warm comments that the honourable members have made. I'll start with perhaps the most important observation, which a number of members have made, which is these are all, together with the other examples we've given, they're good, and we need to scale them up. We need to get much more of this. And for me, it raises, as we get to the end of the administration, a significant policy issue, and that is, how do we scale up the IDC? It is the country's biggest development finance institution, but it's not received any money from government since 1994. In fact, probably from the 1950s or 60s, I would imagine, because how we run the IDC is we require the IDC to make a profit on its portfolio and then to reinvest that profit in its development mandate. And so that means even though its asset base is large, the flow of funds that's available is relatively modest. So in the last 10 years, we've had the advantage that we what financiers call, we're sweating the assets. We're getting the IDC balance sheet to be much more actively used. And it's got to a stage where the next big development would have to be to augment the balance sheet. And in Brazil, some other countries too, but Brazil is perhaps the best example, their IDC equivalent gets a monthly capital injection through a deduction, a payroll deduction that's made from workers and employers, and that is then paid essentially to the IDC equivalent. And that means that you've got more resources, you're able to do many more things, but you can also bring down the price and bring more people in, because obviously price is often a barrier. If the funding is too expensive, you just can't make a company run. If it is too cheap, together with all the risks the IDC has, it's a one-way ticket to bankruptcy. And while institutions are under our management and governance, the fundamental thing is to make sure that they don't go bankrupt and that they are well run and that they're efficient and so on. So I think that that's the policy issue that I want to lift out, that one needs to think about the future. We I think, have got fairly close to how far the IDC can go with its existing balance sheet. It's not to say it can't do what it's doing at the moment. It can do it. But if you want the next big jump, you're going to hit that ceiling of can its balance sheet finance a doubling of what we're currently doing, or a tripling of what we're currently doing. On these specific issues that have come out, we will be doing a lot more work on many of the other sectors to strengthen it, to improve it, and so on. And I think we will see many other really excellent examples coming out. I think part of what we're going to need to do a lot more in future is partner with the commercial banking sector to think about how the combined weight of your big commercial banks and the IDC can increase the level of funding available to industry. And so that may require some new ideas, new thinking about partnerships. Coming to the specific questions that were asked, First, thank you very much for pointing out the typos, Chairperson and Honourable Members. We'll fix those typos. In a few examples, even though we may have a male in the picture, that was the picture that was available in a partnership. So we took the picture that was available. So if you take slide 48 as an example, in slide 48, in Elkon Marepa, we've got Edwin Pala as the person there, but his partner, his wife, owns 31% of the operation. So she's clearly, in that case, a significant, she's above the 25% threshold, and so we would regard that as black industrialist and a female. Similarly, if we go to slide 57, and it does remind us that we will have to make sure that we've got a nice selection of pictures in the IBC library. But in slide 57, where Sipho Mdanda is the male there, in fact, and this is very interesting and maybe quite a nice point to make, Fortunate Mdanda owns 65% of the company, which does raise for me the question, why don't we have Fortunate's picture? So we'll make sure that we get Fortunate's picture when we update this, because this is a very useful long-term document, and I think these are excellent pieces of things that we're doing. So I'm not suggesting that there may be no errors in classification. These, we would appreciate if anything else is brought to our attention. But in these two examples that we used about the classification, there were strong female ones. I mentioned it verbally, but I didn't specifically draw attention to the fact that one or two places we had a need just to improve the grammar so that we don't think females are males. So, for example, in slide 23, it's Lisa and Stefan de la Harp. Fortunately, the picture is female, but the word and was left out of the box, but it is in the text. So just the word and should be added there. So those are little things. I think we'll clean that up, and we appreciate what colleagues have raised. Turning next to the issues that come up around Soweto Gold. The challenge there, and I'm going to see whether the IDC wants to add anything, but the challenge there for us has been, it was a black-owned brewery. It was one that we were quite keen on some years ago, but then I heard that it was in fact sold to Heineken. So the owner sold the main brand and operation. The holding company wasn't sold, but the Soweto Gold part was sold. Now, it raises, I mean, first of all, obviously entrepreneurs, owners of capital, must have the freedom to do what they need to do. But it is an interesting challenge. What do you do when there has been a partnership where the state has supported it? Do people cash in because they can make more money? Do they cash in because they're just battling with the business and it's better to sell it than to let it go down? Do they cash in because they taking the capital and they're putting it into another venture that may be even bigger and even stronger? One doesn't know these things, but I did want to convey that about Soweto Gold. On the query that came
just
up.
Just on that, I think for a quick follow-up, I think maybe IDC would want to come in here, because what we got in terms of the facts when we visited them, it wasn't the selling. It was that they just, what's the correct business word?
Strategic partnership.
Yes, because Heineken was producing en masse and they did not have that capability. So what they did is just that portion of production, otherwise everything else in terms of the content and everything is still there. It's just an issue of packaging, yes, not necessarily there. So I think that's why we need
the IDC to come in there, because even the person representing IDC then did not argue about that matter, actually supported the information that we got. I think Minister will have to get that information then.
Yeah.
If they are not able to give us now, maybe later on.
Chair, then through you, can I just pause for a moment and just see on this one whether the IDC wants to quickly add anything there?
Okay.
You'll revert on this one. Okay. Then the Russian one, it is a far, far way off, and last time I checked, Russia's unemployment levels didn't warrant an IDC intervention. But I am told that it is export finance, where we funded a South African company to import product, well, let's say, to export products, South African manufactured equipment to Russia. So that's why it's regarded as a Russian one. It's a classification issue one would need to think about. I don't know whether the money was paid into the Russian company to enable it to import from South Africa, which is what the Americans use that kind of funding very, very cleverly and very well, I must say, where they basically, if we want to import American products, they will help us to fund it. But then, we eventually pay them back. But that way they create a demand for American products. The Chinese are doing more and more of that. South Africa doesn't do enough of that. So if the IDC is getting into that space, it's an interesting space to get in, because it provides new markets for South African goods. So it's not a funding of a South African company per se, but of the customer to enable them to buy the South African equipment. Then turning to Khalakhadi, we can come back on the Khalakhadi matter to see where they export to, unless the IDC knows that on their fingertips, given that it is a big IDC investment. I never underestimate what you may know. In this case, I'm going to take it that you will come back to the committee in due course. Okay. Chair, on the point raised by Honorable Piccinini on the need to ensure that we do more local processing. The IDC has an important role to play, but we also will need a few other policy tools. So if we take what we've done on scrap metal, that's a very good example where there's a combination of measures. So we create a steady supply of scrap metal to a local operation. The IDC comes in and provides a little bit of capital. The foreign investor comes in and brings additional capital. If you add all of that together, you can beneficiate your scrap metal. So it's that coordination that, in a sense, is a lesson out of the last couple of years of what has worked well. It's where we've been able to get better coordination going. It's not always a lot more money. Sometimes money is the challenge, but very often it's getting this coordination going. And I think we've got lots of good examples of having achieved it, and I think the argument is just to get a lot more coordination within the state and between the state and the private sector. I think that was Honorable Tiani who raised a good question about slide 30 and Q+ and the Natalie Johannes. And in that case, it's an interesting story that the IDC has told me. They say she's currently the operations manager, and she has 25% ownership of the operation. And she started as a machine operator in 1994, exactly the year when our democracy started. And while she was working, she was also studying. And then she got her BCom degree, and based on both what she was learning from the university as well as her practical experience on the machine floor, she then shifted from being a production worker into management. And those are really good examples, because they are the examples that show every South African, particularly people from townships, from families who don't have a lot of money, the opportunity that can be created. that if you work hard, if you study, if you don't have to stay only as a production worker. You can get into management. So I would want us to highlight a few more of these kind of examples, because when I visit factories and communities, there's still a sense that too many of the good examples are examples of people who are regarded as outsiders. They're outside the workplace. They're outside the company. They are they're not seen to be people who organically come through the factory ranks. So we need a combination of those. So I thought that was an interesting story when the IDC sent me that that information. So I'm going to conclude then, Chair, given the time constraints, by saying we'll clean up all the typos. We'll see if we can get a few women photos in the examples where we have, in fact, information that indicates strong women ownership. And in one or two cases, I think the slides need to just bring in the female also, either in addition, or we knock the male out and we put the female there. And I see that Nontokozo is happy there and very supportive of that effort. On Khalakhadi, we'll come back in more detail if the committee would like a little bit of information. But the IDC has just come now and sent me a little note to say, with Khalakhadi, it's mainly China that they export to, and some exports to the United States. So that's the countries that they currently export to. Recall, honorable members, our long-term goal ought to be to get more of that production locally processed, to get it smelted here, and then to combine it with iron ore and other minerals to produce different classes and strengths of steel. Because a lot of our steel is still imported. If you, in the car-making industry, for example, you basically import most of the steel that goes into cars because we don't make that particular type or quality of steel. It's not a technical issue. It's just that we haven't yet pulled together the operation that makes commercial sense. On the way forward for the IDC, more of this, conclude the program, the five-year program, and then deepen the impact of these. I'm particularly keen on examples where it's new enterprises, where it is in addition to what is in the economy, rather than where it's just an ownership change, although sometimes the ownership changes could be very useful. But you want to see more enterprises. So I'd like to thank you, Chairperson, and to the committee. I hope we've been able to answer those questions that's within our knowledge in the available time. And we can, after we've cleaned this up, we'll send a cleaned up version to the honorable members for the records of the committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister, for the responses as usual. But then we'd want to get on Q plus just the ownership percentage or shareholding of Natsavi.
25%.
Is it 25%? Okay, thank you. Thank you so much, Minister, and to the team, departmental team, and also the IDC for the responses. As I indicated earlier on, we did not expect them to come this soon, but you really outdone yourself on that one. Okay, may I also thank the committee members for their attendance and ensuring that they do their job as expected, because if you make a follow-up question, if you need a follow-up response, you ought to attend so that you get the responses and understanding of what is meant by that. And thank you so much for your attendance and the questions. The meeting stands adjourned.
Jay, if we're in informal mode, I forgot to say this. I've just realized this is probably the last committee meeting this year. So while we will still see each other in Parliament in the next few days, can I wish all the members a safe, happy, good festive season, rejuvenated when the committee gets back in February.
Thank you so much, Minister. Yes, it's the last meeting with you, but you know it's the last meeting for the committee, unfortunately. Yes. I thought you were saying you're taking us out for something. End of the year function somewhere. Yes. Huh? No. We don't want that. Thank you so much.
I don't have a laptop.